So, this is where it begins. According to Luke's gospel, it begins right here. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is where it began. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Let me back up two more verses. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about it. Wait a minute. No, okay. Let me back up here. This is at the beginning of chapter 4. Sorry. Jesus, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Wait a minute. Sorry. Let me back up to chapter 3, verse 21, when all the people were baptized and when Jesus also had been baptized. The heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice from heaven came, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I'm well pleased." Wait a minute. Yeah. There are a lot of beginnings. There are a lot of places to begin this story. Why is that? Beginnings are awesome, right? Where do we begin the ministry of Jesus? My Bible calls this the beginning of the Galilean ministry. I suppose there are others. He starts with a small circle and he kind of moves out from there. Eventually makes his way to Jerusalem. And this movement that Jesus begins starts somewhere. Today's beginning is a good one. Sometimes when I read scripture and I'm getting ready for a sermon, I ask lots of questions. You guys know that. Sometimes I'm really interested in what is happening. And the what of today's scripture is really fascinating, isn't it? Good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and letting the oppressed go free. That's some really good what's happening in that story. The what is captivating in this case. I think it's worth preaching on. But sometimes I'm kind of interested in the how. Last week, this is bad because I can get lost in my head, and then I take you guys down these rabbit holes. Like last week, we were talking about miracles, right? And how do you turn water into wine? And maybe last week I might ask a little bit about why. Why would you turn water into wine? Why would that be your first miracle? So a lot of times the hows and the whys are really interesting. How are the blind going to see again? How are the good news going to, or how are the poor going to have good news? How will the oppressed go free? I'm captivated by that today. How is this going to happen? And sometimes, not very often, I'm afraid, but sometimes I kind of want to know when. When will the poor have good news preached to them? When will we have our eyes open so that we can truly see? When will the oppressed go free? And when will captives be delivered? When is it going to happen? Today, you might have noticed the way I started my sermon, I was doing lots of beginnings, and when does this whole thing begin? I'm really captivated by the when. And you know why? Because today's when is today. Does that make sense? The when today is today. He rolled the scroll up, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, when? Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. It's So he might have been sitting in a synagogue full of people like you guys, and they might have heard the words of Isaiah, an ancient prophet, right? They're, you know, they can remember back 500 years that the prophet Isaiah first appeared in Israel. They've got this sort of collective Jewish memory of all that Isaiah promised. And I'll bet every day, every year, they might have said, when? When will God send a Messiah to make these things happen? And today, they're sitting in the synagogue, they're sitting in church, and they're worshiping, and this guy gets up, Joseph's son, they remember the carpenter down the street, and he gets up, and he says, when? Today. The kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus says. And in Luke's gospel, he goes on to say, the kingdom of God is within you. It's right here in your midst. And the people, and then he kind of just lets that sit on their ears for a while. And the people, what's their response? Do you remember? They were amazed. In a good way, it seems. They were really impressed. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. That's verse 22. Then what happens? The lectionary cuts us off there, but you want to know what happens next? Well, he starts getting real with them. One of them says, isn't this Joseph's son? And he said to them, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, doctor, cure thyself. Or it says, cure yourself. I'm just remembering physician, heal thyself. So what I grew up hearing, you guys probably remember that verse from other versions of the Bible. Physician, heal thyself. Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum. So words and reports have already come. Well, he starts telling them stories about Israel's history that they probably have forgotten. And in these stories, God's grace and healing and miracles are shared not just with the Jewish faithful, but sometimes the unclean and the Gentiles and the people of other nations. And when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. My, how a crowd can turn. They got up, drove him out of the town, led him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. It's kind of like caucus season in Iowa, isn't it? But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. When we see the whole picture, it's really an interesting story. Obviously, the caucuses, the political season, the primary season has been on a lot of our minds, probably a lot. But I kind of think of this as we're way past the caucus season, and Jesus is beginning his ministry. This is like his inaugural address. He's going to lay out in a very short sermon where he sees this ministry of his going. And it's a pretty radical one. It's a pretty ambitious one, right? Good news to the poor, sight to the blind, release to the captives. And it's scandalous in many ways. And so they love his two-minute soundbite, right? The people loved him and were in awe. But when he gets down to the nitty-gritty of implementing this thing, then we're beyond sound bites, and now we're into policy implementation, and they're not too keen on him, right? Beware the sound bite, and welcome the details of his ministry. But again, it's the when of it that really captures my imagination today. When will God's presence finally make itself known in ways that will change lives, open eyes, and set us free from our own prisons? When? How about now? Jesus says, I think, you know, one of the things that he's doing in Luke's gospel is he's bringing the kingdom of God and news of the kingdom of God to the very present, to the right now. It's almost like he's saying, welcome to the kingdom of now. Welcome to the kingdom of now. Because for too long, the people of Israel have been dreaming about a day when God's love will be known and present every day, in and out, you know, with every breath they take. For too long, they've been waiting for that perfect time, the sweet by and by. They've been singing the song that we started with today, or that Judah started with, soon and very soon. When's this all going to happen? Oh, soon and very soon, right? It's not quite yet, but just keep coming back, right? That's quite a gimmick. That's quite a religious trick that has been played on us for centuries and millennia. Soon and very soon, I promise, is just around the corner. Well, Jesus gets up in the synagogue that day, and he doesn't want to have anything to do with soon and very soon. He wants the kingdom of now. He wants us to stop living in the past or in the future and to breathe this moment and know that God's reign of justice is now. Anybody buying that? I'll tell you, honestly, I'm much better at preaching this sermon than I am embracing it. As soon as I walk out of here, I'm either going to be living in the past or I'm going to be living in the future. I'm not very good in the kingdom of now. I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, you probably heard this. When you're living in the past, you're thinking about regrets. And you're carrying resentments. Because I did that one thing. Why didn't I do that differently? Regret. And you tend to, it takes you out of the present moment. So the people that you're with right now in this very moment, they're not getting the best you because you're carrying around regret and resentment. So I do that about half of the time. And the other half of the time, I'm living in the future. And you know what that feels like? That feels like worry and anxiety, right? Because I'm thinking about what's going to happen when I get up tomorrow. What's going to happen when I go to work tomorrow? What's going to happen if? What's going to happen when? Right? And then I worry about things that haven't happened yet, but I know they're going to happen. Or I fantasize about that Powerball ticket. Some other jerk won instead of me. And all of these things serve to take me out of the kingdom of now. Why does Jesus want us to live in the kingdom of now? Why does he stand up in the synagogue on some random day? It could have been any day. It could be today. Because the day he's talking about is today. Let go of the past. Surrender your regrets, your wounds, your shouldas and couldas and wouldas, and embrace this moment as the one that God has laid out for you. And don't fast forward to tomorrow and try to manage all the things that really are beyond your control. Trying to orchestrate, you know, if I do this and I do that and I do that, then my exact outcome is going to happen. Let go of that because you're only fooling yourself and you're creating worry and anxiety about another time other than right now. So here I am in the kingdom of now, and I kind of wonder about things. Like just looking at this inaugural address, I think, well, when will my blindness be healed? And the answer comes back, now. How about now? God says, is now good for you, Paul? Would this be a good time? Now? And I think, when will the Spirit of God be felt right next to, as close as my own fingertips or as close as my own heart? And God says, would now be a good time, Paul? And when will I have compassion for the people who really irritate me and push my buttons? When will I have the gift of forgiveness for those who have needled me and hurt me and harmed me? And God says, would now be okay, Paul? soon and very soon on that one. Maybe soon and very soon. Well, how about now? And when will I be able to look at the people next to me and see not just friends and neighbors and co-workers, but actually see the face of Christ, the presence of God, the embodiment of love? When will that happen? When I get all my ducks in a row? When I let go of all my regrets? When I let go of the future? How about now? Would now be good? And someday, today, not someday, let's do this sermon right, Paul. Today, I will open myself up to the gift that is now. And let that gift of God's Holy Spirit that is now move me through each breath and each moment and each encounter. I'm going to invite us all to the table with a different song than what's in the bulletin. We have that sung response there. But I want to teach you this song. It's called Now. And I've got a response to teach you, and then I'll sing this little verse. And then somewhere as we're starting to do this, I'll have the deacons kind of come up to the table. But this will be our transition to the table. So it goes like this. Now is the moment. Now is the time. Try that. Now is the moment. Now is the time. This very day there is salvation. This very day there is salvation. This very day there is salvation. Now is the moment. Now is the time. This very day there is salvation. Now is the moment. Now is the time. This very day there is salvation. Don't want a heaven after I'm gone. I need a place to keep my family warm. Don't want a vision of saints robed in white. I want the blind to see the sweet morning light. Now, now is the moment. Now is the time. This very day there is salvation. Don't want a future where God sets things right. I need a neighborhood to walk safe at night. Don't want a banquet in heaven above, till no one is hungry in this world that I love. Now, now is the moment, now is the time. This very day there is salvation. Don't want a kingdom, don't want a crown, till all nations lay their angry weapons down. No Armageddon, no thousand years. No more tomorrows, only now, only here. Now is the moment, now is the time. This very day there is salvation. Now